And this is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. We've been doing this for some 9 to 18 years. Appreciate the fundraising that is happening this month. Thank you for keeping the Worldview in 5 Minutes alive. And we do appreciate anybody who writes into us and encourages us to just keep going for one more year. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of you who've been contributing your thoughts, your gratitude, your contributions and your prayers for our ministry. 1,000 thank yous to all of you supporting our program. Steve Vaughn with us as our co-host on this edition of the program. And today we're coming back to Japan. And here's why. Because I was raised as a missionary kid in Japan. My dad has a small church there. And by God's grace, several were saved and discipled in that little church in Karatsu, Japan, some 35, 40 years ago. And so we come back to Japan from time to time. And we are hoping and believing that God is going to do amazing work in Japan. Almost every nation, every area of the world has had something of their own Pentecost: Korea, China, Scotland, England, America. We've had our awakenings and our revivals and our amazing Pentecosts. And we've seen that throughout history. We cover some of that in Taking the World for Jesus, our summary on the work of Christ through the ages. And that's exciting. That's encouraging. But we want to see it in Japan. Now, as it turns out, I've got two guys in our Shepherd Center right now. Both of them want to be missionaries to Japan. And Steve, it's amazing that somehow they converged in my basement. And we're, you know, doing some shepherding discipleship. That's part of the ministry that we do as a means by which we prepare the next generation for ministry. And these guys both are speaking Japanese. I speak Japanese with them, and we are working through some basic fundamentals in theology, hermeneutics, and other aspects of teaching. And it's incredible that God brought them here. So there's got to be something in the future. Here we have two young men interested in serving as missionaries and as those that are going to build the future church in Japan. One happens to be Japanese. The other happens to have a Chinese background. And yet they both have an interest in missions to Japan. So, you know, it's not like I was out there broadcasting, you know, here we prepare missionaries for Japan. We no brochure, nothing like that. They just came here. So we got a little Japanese preparatory ministry happening in our Shepherd Center this time around.
Yeah, I think it's the providence of God because of your background, you know, that you've talked about. But, you know, it's the providence of God that brings these guys to you. Every, you know, God's got a plan and a purpose for everything. Mm-hmm. And every time you have the Shepherd's Conference and you're doing the mentorship and all of that, God brings you the people that need to come to you. And it's just amazing. I'm always amazed at the providence of God, which we shouldn't ever be. But it, you know, we go, wow, God did this. And we're so thankful. I'm so thankful to be on God's team, on God's side, that he called me into a relationship with him.
Amen. Nothing's wasted in our lives. You know, he didn't waste those years. I didn't waste those years while I was raised in Japan. He's preparing us all the time for the next unfolding elements of his kingdom agenda and the unfolding opportunities for the commission. Well, let's talk about Japan just for a few minutes. The fourth largest economy in the world shrank another 3.9% for the first quarter of 2021. See, Japan's economy is failing. It's been failing for 9 years. And Japan's debt to GDP ratio has gone from 100% to 266%. That's the largest in the world. So in some respects, Japan is the worst economy in the world. Japan's birth rate dropped below the replacement level in 1957. That is, all the way back in 1957, it's dropping into the 1.9 area, which means that they are not able to replace themselves. That was, I'm going to say, roughly 65 years ago, Japan's birth rate dropped below the replacement level, and its population has been shrinking since 2010. Meaning it's losing hundreds of thousands a year. It's lost some 2 million since 2010. We're dropping off a million here, a million there. Imagine a city of a million wiped off the map just about every year or two. That's what's going on in Japan right now. It's a very depressing time. Japan is a depressed nation. Japan was the second largest economy in the world. Now it's the fourth largest economy in the world. So Japan is falling. And so in just a moment, Steve, I want to talk about why Japan fell. Why did Japan fail? It serves as something of a predecessor for the fall of the West, because we're falling too. And so to study Japan's fall is to study our own fall. And you can get more of that, of course, in my new book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. And that includes America. I'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn also with us now. As we analyze the fall of Japan, why did Japan fall? That's the question. And the first thing I think almost everybody knows is that the Japanese have a strong work ethic. These guys are hard workers. You see that everywhere. Anywhere you go, you find that the Japanese are known for their strong work ethic. One of the contributors to the second largest economy in the world. And by the way, they don't have a very large population. Started out with, I think, something like 160, 180 million. But that's, you know, that's nowhere near the size of China. So yet Japan has a GDP that at one point was the second largest in the world. Amazing. Amazing for a tiny little nation like that. The Japanese had a strong work ethic. And here's a takeaway. I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. Just training your kids with a work ethic is not enough. Some people assume that, you know, character is hard work and son, you will learn how to work hard. And so they're sort of like a broken record, and they train their kids to work hard, and that's pretty much it. Now, I think we have to be very cautious with that kind of an approach. Our Christian worldview is not primarily a work ethic. There's a lot more to it. The first, of course, is that God works in us. So God's working is far, far more fundamental than our working. And without faith in God's works, forget the working out your own salvation. So again, the work ethic itself is not enough. There are a few other verses in Scripture, Steve, beyond the work ethic.
Yeah, just one or two. You know,
yeah, there's more to
it. Relationship, loving each other, loving God, you know, the one another skills.
There you go.
Yeah, all of those.
Yeah. Well, Japan also had the highest abortion rate in the world in the 1950s. Believe it or not, they were killing over half their kids in the 1950s.
Wow.
Japan, more than the Soviet Union, took Margaret Sanger seriously. She took a trip to Japan, and wow, they got the gospel of Margaret Sanger big time, and they courted the world's lowest birth rate for half a century. And now its population shrinking at a rate of 600,000 citizens per year. So they were the hardest workers in the world in some respects, but some of the most myopic, selfish, existentialistic, pro-abortion, who cares about the next generation worldview. And that's what destroyed them. Now, here's another thing. Japan rejected the gospel, sadly. although there was a flood of missionaries that came in through the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. MacArthur opened everything up, you know, so all the missionaries flooded in. Japan, by and large, rejected the gospel for the materialistic gospel. They received the gospel of William Deming, but they neglected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, well, what in the world is the gospel of William Deming? William Deming made a significant contribution to Japan's reputation for innovative, high-quality products and for its economic power. You weren't buying a Toyota car in 1968, Steve.
No, those were awful.
No. You didn't buy a Toyota car in 1964. No. But you're buying Toyota Camrys in 1997. Okay, so there's a shift that occurred largely because of the influence of William Deming. Now, they loved the gospel of William Deming, but they had neglected the gospel of Jesus Christ. William Deming is regarded as having had more impact on Japanese manufacturing and business than any other individual. Certainly not of Japanese heritage, anyway. And he was honored in Japan in 1951 with the establishment of the Deming Prize. But by the way, the United States pretty much rejected Deming until the early 1990s. I was using Deming's principles in the 1980s and 1990s. And that's when Motorola and a few others were moving towards Six Sigma. Statistical process control was coming in. We were pushing for the CPKs of 2.0 and above. I mean, anybody who is working in manufacturing today is going to know this language. They're going to know that you build your cars with a CPK of 2.0. They're going to know about statistical process control. But that was Deming's thing. It was largely rejected by American companies in the 1960s and 1970s, but it was completely embraced by the Japanese manufacturing sector. Deming, by the way, was a descendant of John Deming, an early Puritan settler. So he had a strong work ethic. He understood the quality and quantity work that so represented the Puritan work ethic in the United States. And there was just a lot of common grace working as America transferred her technology to Japan. But here's the deal. That's just not enough. Hard work is not enough. The Puritan work ethic's not enough. A nation needs the blessing of God. A nation needs to stop killing its kids. A nation doesn't do well when it shifts its worker-to-retiree ratio from 1 to 12 in 1950. That is, you had one retiree for 12 workers. And now, as of about 2030 to 2040, Japan's going to be at a 12 retirees to one worker ratio. It's going the other direction.
Oh, my.
That's terrible.
Yeah. What are we, about 2 to 1?
So it's shifting the other direction. So that means, of course, euthanasia and the rest. But a nation needs the blessing of God. A nation needs relationships, a commitment to family, a commitment to the future. And that's something the modern materialistic worldview just isn't going to give you. A nation needs hope and a reason to live. That's another thing a nation needs, okay? A nation needs hope. Japan doesn't have any hope. Money alone can't provide a reason to live. Japan has among the highest suicide rates in the world. A nation needs to be careful with technology, for example. Technology can kill you guys. It can kill relationships. It can produce a slow suicide. Not unlike alcohol and drugs that we talk about all the time on the program. You know, let me give you an example, Steve, and I think this one's somewhat helpful. Let me give you an example. 25% of 50-year-old Japanese men have never married. 25% of 50-year-old men have never married. And that's up from 5% in 1990. Throughout history, singleness is roughly 5%, okay? And even that's a little high. It's probably closer to 3 to 4%. So guys that are called to singleness, about 3 to 4%. That's where it's been historically. For Japanese, it's 25%. Here's a story from Mainichi News, one of the Japanese newspapers. 36-year-old man Akihiko Kondo arrives home to be greeted by none other than Hatsune Miku, a popular illustrated Vocaloid voice synthesizer character appearing as a hologram in a cylindrical contraption called a gate box. This is really eerie stuff, so careful. Okay, this is weird. Okay, we're going to get really weird here, Steve. So what happens is through sensors and microphones, this hologram detects Kondo's movements and speech and responds accordingly. Wanting to make their love more concrete, Kondo has spent 2 million yen, which is, I'm thinking about $20,000, to throw a wedding for himself and Miku in November of 2018. So he marries this hologram is what he's done. Okay. Since he was young, Kondo has appreciated anime and video games. After graduating from vocational school, he began working as a clerical staffer at a junior high school. But there he was the target of bullying by two of his female colleagues. This happens with Japanese men. Gradually, he became unable to eat, even search suicide on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty typical for Japanese. And eventually, he came across this Hatsune Miku, and he finds tremendous emotional support from his hologram. Kondo couldn't stop crying when he first saw an advertisement video for the Gatebox, having realized that the world that he had hoped for had finally become a reality. "I love you, please marry me," were the first words he said to Miku. When they looked at each other through the Gatebox, she responded, "I hope you'll cherish me." That was enough for him. And now he's got this wedding ring, and he just says, "This is a wonderful life."
Oh,
for
my.
Me.
That really
that's
is
really
very
weird.
Strange.
I mean, that's about as weird as it can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, friends, this is what the end of a society looks like. Here's a guy who should be living in a mental institute. Now, this is the reason why this is a weird story, is because this guy is not living in a mental institute. And this newspaper article is taking it seriously. That's what's happening here. The bottom line, friends, is that this society is dead on arrival. This is what a dead society looks like. This is what it looks like when technology and escapism has pretty much ruined a society. The newspaper takes this mental case seriously. And this would be the end of human society. This is what the end of marriage looks like. This is what the end of a family looks like. This is what the birth implosion looks like. This is just the tip of an iceberg. This is just, you know, one story. But this also is what a society looks like that has been destroyed by pornography and by the internet and by technology. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, when that becomes the story, well, and that becomes something that you put on the internet or in print or something like that. And that means you're elevating this to something more than something that's kind of a creepy, disturbing story. You're legitimizing this. If you're speaking
or normalizing,
of it. Yeah, normalizing.
You're normalizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the point, is that we, you know, these guys, this whole society is living in a mental institute, and the newspaper is recording these things as if they're normal. It's very odd, very bad. This is what a post-society looks like. Now, let me end on this news story from Fox News. I think this is important. Sometimes it's helpful to have somebody from the outside looking in, and this is what we get from this Fox News story about a North Korea defector who attended Columbia University, and this is what she found. This is a very interesting story. Again, it ties in the Asian experience to the American experience, but, you know, at the point at which you say, you know, we're doing so much better than North Korea, you know, thank God we're doing better than Japan. Be careful. That's what I'm saying. Just be careful. Because America isn't doing that much better. Here's a Fox News story. As American educational institutions continue to be called into question, a North Korean defector fears the United States' future is as bleak as North Korea after she attended one of the country's most prestigious universities. Her name is Yeonmi Park. One of several hundred North Korean defectors settled in the United States, Park, 27 years of age, transferred to Columbia University from a South Korean university in 2016. She was deeply disturbed by what she found. She said, "I expected that I was paying this fortune, all this time and energy, to learn how to think. But they're forcing you to think the way they want you to think. I realized, wow, this is insane. I thought America was different, but I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I started to worry." During orientation, she was scolded by a university staff member for admitting she enjoyed such classic literature as Jane Austen. "I said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing." But then she's chastised for that. It only got worse from there, as Yeonmi realized that every one of her classes at Ivy League school was infected with what she saw as anti-American propaganda reminiscent to the sort she was growing up with. She was also shocked and confused by issues surrounding gender and language, with every class asking students to announce their preferred pronouns. So she's shocked at, you know, how anti-America and anti-American liberty and all the rest Ivy League schools turn out to be. But that was exactly the kind of propaganda she was getting from the North Koreans. She says it was chaos. It felt like the regression in civilization. Even North Korea is not this nuts. North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. She talks about these preferred pronouns. She says, this is crazy, but, you know, this is even crazier than North Korea. I thought Korea was nuts. Well, it turns out she's, you know, a defector. She crossed into China over the frozen Yalu River, and they fell into the hands of human traffickers who sold them to slavery. But with the help of Christian missionaries, the pair managed to flee to Mongolia, walked across the Gobi Desert to eventually find refuge in South Korea. So I mean, these folks made it out of this insane North Korean tyranny. And she comes to America and finds it could be worse here. North Koreans, we don't have the internet. We don't have access to any of these great thinkers, she says. We don't know anything. But here, while having everything, people choose to be brainwashed. They deny it. Having come to America with high hopes and expectations, she expressed her disappointment. You guys have lost common sense to a degree that I, as a North Korean, cannot even comprehend. Where are we going from here? There's no rule of law. There's no morality. Nothing is good or bad. It's just chaos here. I guess that's what they want, to destroy every single thing and rebuild it into a communist paradise. Okay, so that's the insight we get from a North Korean defector. Your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah. You know, I knew that we were nuts, but I would have never guessed that somebody from North Korea would come and say we're crazier than North Korea. But, you know, it just reminds me, I was reading Romans 1, you know, 18 through the end of the chapter. It's like, man, that is where we are. We have been given over. God has given over to just a debased mind to think things that they ought not to think and to do things they ought not to do. We have become crazy. The whole preferred pronouns, that men can menstruate, that men can have babies. You know, who are we to say that a man can't have a baby? Well, man can't have a baby. Men don't menstruate. Men don't do any of that stuff. But hey, we've got to teach this in classes because we don't want to discriminate. It's just crazy. There's craziness going on here.
And you will lose your job if you do not assert that this woman's a man and this guy's Napoleon. You will lose your job if you don't allow for his identity as Napoleon or as a pig or whatever he wants to be. You will lose your job as a teacher for that kind of thing. Truly, the inmates are running the asylum. And as you mentioned, I think it's Romans 1. Yes, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, and God gave them up to a debased mind. You know, it's interesting that North Korea and America have a lot in common. The North Korean premier's grandfather was the son of a Presbyterian pastor or leader in the churches way back in the 1940s. And, you know, the premier's grandfather became the first premier, the first tyrant. He's an apostate. He's a Christian apostate. And America's academic political leaders are likewise Christian apostates as well. But let me answer the question here. So what do we do? Before we're done with this program, I want to answer this question, Steve. What do we do? The inmates are running the asylum. So what do we do? Here's the first thing we do. We got to preach the word. Go to Hear Good Preaching. We added an evening service. We just felt it was time to add more preaching to a church. I realize that that's pretty much out of vogue these days, but I think that this is kind of a prophetic moment for Kevin. I think that people are going to want to be sane. Maybe not everybody, but I think there will be people who want to be sane. So what do you do when the inmates are running the asylum? Friends, I think the answer is go hear good preaching. Because there's something about preaching, Steve, that clears the cobwebs out of our heads. I've noticed this. Now, we don't have a large group that get together to hear the preaching on a Sunday night. But, you know, we'll get people on a Sunday morning, and then we get a lot less on a Sunday night. But my wife and I want to hear it. You know, either I'm going to take my turn or one of the other elders are going to preach. But we're going to hear good preaching. We need to hear more good preaching. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I base it on this. Okay, so Paul is saying perilous times are coming. Men are being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good traitors, and all the rest. But you must continue in these things, which you have learned. And then he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing his kingdom. Man, you preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Do it more. Do it in season. Do it out of season. Do it when it's popular. Do it when it's unpopular. It doesn't matter. Preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So that's the first thing, friends. How do you react when the inmates are running the asylum? You go to hear good preaching. Secondly, you know, it's hard to believe that insane people can run a country, and I think this is happening right now. But remember that God is in control, that this is God's judgment on a nation. God is judging our nation. This is God's sovereign hand on us. He put Nebuchadnezzar out to pasture in the back 40. And that's what he's doing to nations. Deuteronomy 28 verse 20 says, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. So there's this confusion, this rebuke that happens. And then here's the last thing. Here's the very last thing. What do you do when the inmates are running the asylum, which is where we happen to be in the history of mankind, especially in the Western world? Well, here's what you do. You root and ground your children on the principles of God's word. Teach your children the Gospels. Teach them Deuteronomy. Teach them the book of Proverbs. That's why we provide the Proverbs Bible study guides to families. Because I think you start there. Start with the Bible study guides. Start with the book of Matthew, the book of John. We have those Bible study guides from J.C. Ryle. I've been reading through J.C. Ryle on the book of Mark with my kids every evening. But start with that. Prepare your children to rebuild a new civilization. And start today in your own church community. And do it with the book of Proverbs. Do it with the book of Deuteronomy. Do it with the Gospels. Bring your children to the Word of God and get the Word of God into your kids. And here's the other thing. Develop your own education. Develop your own charitable systems in your local churches. Develop your own economies. Develop your own society within your own church community. That's what we do. And that is how we can rebuild a community, a civilization, as the other civilizations are coming down. The Proverbs Bible Study Guides are available at generations.org. Also, grab a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.